Kof Teves, which passed, the 20th of Teves is the yard site of the Rambam. Rav Kook was a devotee of the Rambam in the most superlative fashion. And with the publication of a series of volumes, 13 volumes, written by the Orthodox historian Ze'ev Yavetz, Toldos Yisrael, and again, it's probably the only work of that scope written from a Torah perspective. Rav Kook became disturbed when, in the 12th volume, Rav Ze'ev Yavetz dedicated the entire volume to the Rambam, but was severely critical of the Rambam's style and technique in philosophy, in his Mora Nevuchim, one massive sefer of Jewish philosophy, the Guide to the Perplexed. Now, what Rav Kook feared was essentially two things. Number one, a regression to the 13th century, which was 100 years of machlokes, over whether the Rambam is a Shegetz or the Rambam is a Talmud Chacham. The century-long machlokes erupted in three volcanic surges. But it was a century-long machlokes. There was no such thing as being neutral in the 13th century. Either you were pro-Rambam or you were against the Rambam. There are two major works that have been spent, that have been written on this. One is a work by Sarachek, Faith and Reason, and the other one by Danny Jeremy Silver, the Maimonidean Controversy. Both were not necessarily Torah Jews, but they were fine scholars. Sarachek did his work as a PhD dissertation. He happened to have been an English teacher of mine back in high school. And Danny Jeremy Silver is the son of the famous Reform Alba Hillel Silver, but nonetheless a historian of note, and has done a tremendous job in reconstructing the essence of the controversy. But nonetheless, Rav Kook wrote a major treatise. It's difficult to call it a treatise, a major essay, as a letter disagreeing with Rav Ze'ev Yavetz and the publishers, the printers of Toldos Yisrael, included this letter as an addendum in the 12th volume of Toldos Yisrael. Because that's how compelling it was in their estimation, and you obviously see here in the pamphlet over here, where the honor is accorded to Rav Kook, Ma'amar Miyuchad, a special essay, Mikvod Gaon Kacho Moron Sar Ha'uma Rabbeinu Avraham Yitzhak HaKohen Kook Shlita. And the superlatives over there are just recognizable as being the kind of respect that Rav Kook was able to command, at least from this segment, notwithstanding the fact that he violently disagreed with the very position of Yavetz.
Who wrote that preface?
Well, this is the publisher. This is the publisher.
Rav Kook wrote this sheet?
Oh, yes, but Rav Kook, this that you have here, the reprint, is Rav Kook's letter.
Oh, so this is a letter in Toldos Yisrael.
And reprinted in Toldos Yisrael.
It seems that Ze'ev Yavetz had already missed them.
By the time this edition,
he have agreed to have it written in his edition?
They did communicate with one another, without question. They were contemporaries. And without question, they communicated on this. Did he agree? I would have to go back to find the first edition. It's probable that in the first edition, it was not necessarily printed. Well, I'm not clear. You know, the last two volumes, or last three, I forget whether it's 13 volumes or 14 volumes, may have been published posthumously. lechatchila. So I am not clear on the dates as far as that's concerned. But clearly, Yavetz and Rav Kook were contemporaries, and they communicated on a very intimate level. Before I can show you what Rav Kook is answering in Yavetz, let me give you a quick bird's eye view of some of the issues of the Rambam, because just to study the Rambam's controversy in and of itself is a year of shiurim, and maybe more, to be able to see what's going on. So I will try to condense what I can and give you two examples in my condensation, so that for a hefty few minutes I'm going to be talking Rambam to you. What were the basic issues that the Rambam saw as resistance? Some of the issues predated him. It wasn't as a result of him, but once he took a stand, already the resistance started to clobber him. For instance, the famous issue of faith versus reason, which is an age-old issue. Which is superior, the Kabbalah that we get from generation to generation, by which we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is it the man's intellect which has to discover what the MS of Torah is every single time? And the Rambam had a modified, limited kind of rationalism, a reason that without question the essence is to know, and to know intimately by reason to the extent that a human being can understand. Second issue was the issue of prohibited education throughout all of our generations. We've always had things that we wanted to say are verboten. Hands off. Now, when it came to philosophy, which in those days, in the days of the Rambam, he died in 1204, meant Greek philosophy, this was the dominant sphere of the intellectual. Well, is Greek philosophy congruous with Torah or not? And this was the genius of the Rambam, to be able to take these perplexing issues and dovetail them and see that the gears mesh. This is what he wrote to his Talmud, Rabbi Yosef ibn Atnin, that it is only the blind who see these as two separate realms. If you investigate and see and distill, they can come side by side, and you don't have to opt for one for the other. And it wasn't only in this Mora Nevuchim, in his Guide to Perplex, where Greek philosophy was the dominant issue. And parenthetically, I may tell you, when he spoke about Nevi'im, the highest of intellects in the Rambam scheme, he placed Aristotle, excuse me, one level below all Nevi'im. Now, if you knew nothing else but that, can't you see that the Rambam is a sitting duck for a century of controversy? Simple as that. What do you mean? Where? Bilam, he would put one step above Bilam's jackass. Yeah, 100%. Okay. All right. No, he didn't. Rambam didn't disagree with Chazal as far as where Bilam came in potentia. Potentially, Bilam ranked with Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, it's a Midrash. Yeah, Rambam didn't disagree. Bilam to the nations is what Moshe Rabbeinu Lahavdil is to the Bnei Yisrael, and the Rambam didn't disagree with Chazal. Elama, as soon as Peola came in, then his four-legged jackass was able to understand and perceive more of ruchnius, of spirituality, and a person's destiny and needs in life than this two-legged jackass called Bilam.
Well, now, would the Rambam have described a certain amount of Kedusha to Aristotle? Or is that the wrong word?
Okay. Rambam ascribes a sense of Kedusha to intellect. And that he was an intellect is without doubt. Does he agree with him and sell out to Aristotle across the board? And the answer is unequivocally no. Mm-hmm. But intellect is the beginning and the end of Shitas HaRambam, with its certain limitations. But I caution you, please, don't get too engrossed in Rambam, even though I do it for the sake of the time and in celebration of his Yahrzeit, in observance of his Yahrzeit, because then we'll miss our Rav Kook then, unless we stretch this over two sessions. The third was the issue of anthropomorphism with the Rambam. Rambam was hell bent on making sure that any kind of concept that a human being, that a Jew specifically had, that the Rabbanu Shel Olam has certain physical characteristics, were to be wiped off of the record. There were no two ways about it. Whereas gigantic segments of Yahadus did believe that there were certain things, if it speaks about Yad Hashem, in a certain spiritual, physical sense, there is a true Yad. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Vayedaber, there was, in a certain sense, a mechanism that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be able to speak that way. Hmm. And the Rambam was hell-bent on destroying this.
It's
number
Joel,
four, what?
Look at the
Raivad. That's it. You look at the Raivad. I can show it. I don't have a Rambam here. Look at the Raivad, where the Rambam in Sefer Amada speaks about this. He says, I don't know what this guy is getting so excited for. Gedolim imenu, verabim imenu. Wait a minute. Gedolim verabim imenu held that there were anthropomorphic qualities. And so it was across the board. It was almost a universally known kind of entity that there was such a thing. And the Rambam would not in any which way, in the very beginning, in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, wouldn't accept anthropomorphism if his life depended on it.
Oh.
Remind me, I'll show you this thing. Okay?
Hmm.
Issues like Trias HaMesim, and his concept of Trias HaMesim, which tied in directly to a theory of Nisim, and also by extension to a theory of what Yemos HaMashiach were to be, were revolutionary in the eyes of the Rambam. When you go take a look at his introduction to let's say Perek Chelek, hold it. Yeah, the introduction to Perek Chelek, where he gives five theories of what people believe to be Olam Haba. And when he says people, he's not talking about lowlights, he is talking about Bnei Yisrael. Olam Haba would be a plush golf course with tiger skin and leopard skin carpeting, and you know these punch bowls that spout all kinds of punch at weddings. Every 10 feet you have another flavor of punch, okay? With the little angel standing there, and there's nothing else but wine, women, and song, as it goes. People believe this, and he quotes it. He goes on until he arrives at his concept. It's got him into tremendous amount of problems. Furthermore, the resistance of the Rambam to the Gaonim, who were the established hierarchy of authority in Bavel. They were becoming a corrupt group in his estimation, simply because you couldn't get a psak din out of the Gaonim unless you paid for it.
Hmm.
You could not, well, understandably, because when a Shaila was asked of a Gaon, and then he goes ahead and writes a 400 page answer, you know what it takes to research? 6 months. Rav Hai Gaon wrote certain monographs in Halacha where it was the last word. You ask me a shaila, let's say, on Ribis. He wrote a whole treatise on it. I'm only giving that to you as a simple example. No? You write an encyclopedic article for Encyclopedia Britannica, Lahavdil. And everything there is to know, you summarize about it, down to the last thing. You think you ought to be entitled to be paid for your scholarship? If not for your scholarship, what about for the time that you could not go to the office and work, or the shop and produce? Rambam was again, I use the words, hell-bent on this, in Pirkei Avos especially, where he says that Torah, Al-Tas is Torah, you can't make Torah, Kardom Lachpor Bo, a spade by which you go ahead and make profits on the deal.
Hmm.
You should see one of the longest of the Perushim of the Rambam on Pirkei Avos is right over there, where he takes the Gaonim over the coals. That's Perek Dalid in Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Hay.
But what practical alternative did he give him?
What do you mean, what practical alternative? You learn, and during the day you're a doctor, and at night you're a Rebbe. Exactly what he did. That's it.
Also works in reverse, because I think one of the longest Sayyidim in the Rambam is the section which says you're not allowed to earn money as a Rav. I think this has like about four pages of...
That's right. Now, it's one thing to go ahead and espouse such a policy, but when it is not in the theoretical, when he directs it at the practical authority of the yeshivos in Bavel, the gaonim in Bavel, then you know what you're talking about. You're talking about a major political brouhaha. No two ways about it. Furthermore, without question, the way, the form, the style in which he wrote his Mishneh Torah, which you have in front of you, created one of the greatest incentives for machlokas. He wrote so easily, he wrote so, as you know, he wrote with such facility of style, learning became so easy that what was threatened was actually the style of learning. Gemara would not have been continued. Well, interestingly enough, here is where the machlokas of the Rambam did more to advance the cause of the Rambam than any other thing. Because if the objections didn't occur, people would not have learned the Rambam with such interest. You know, it's the forbidden fruit theory. The mere fact that people were objecting to what the Rambam says here, and how can he say this when he contradicts himself elsewhere, the classical Shver Rambam, it's a stira, okay? That's what saved the Rambam, or better still, that's what gave the Mishneh Torah the prominence in yeshiva circles since his days. So it was an interesting backlash.
I mean, if there were no contradictions, nobody would have learned it.
Well, it may not have had, according to scholars, it may not have had such a meteoric rise and such an omniscient kind of influence as it has. And finally, you know, the issue, aside from the form and the style, the issue of the contents of the first Sefer, of Sefer Hamada, where somehow into his halacha creeps philosophical ideas that are Greek philosophy, but it isn't limited entirely to the Sefer Hamada. I'll show you soon.
Do in modern yeshiva, do they study at all the first part of the Rambam?
Modern
yeshiva. I mean, modern, I'm not talking about, you know, whether...
Contemporary,
you say?
The only part of the Sefer Hamada, the first volume, is Hilchos Tshuva. Okay? Needless to say, Hilchos Deos has been the motivator to so many other Musa works that have been expanded beyond the realm of Hilchos Deos in terms of detail, such as the Shari Tshuva, such as the Mesilas Yesharim, you see. So Hilchos Deos has been taken over by the Sifrei Musar. Hilchos Tshuva, without question, has been, it is a classic as far as that is concerned. And what are you left with? You're left with Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. There are some fine perushim on Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. There's one excellent perush that the world has to cry every time you do read it, because it was a great uncle of, the Soloveitchik family. Name is Krakowski. And he wrote on Sefer Hamada and everything else. All was destroyed, except for his perush on Sefer Hamada. His intent is to be able to go ahead and uncover the true sources of the Rambam in Chazal. And does he succeed? Was it
destroyed there in Europe?
It was destroyed in Europe, yeah. I have it at home. Published by Mossad of Cook. Yeah. It's not Avodah Sa'. I think it's Avodah Sa'i Melech. I'm not sure right now. Let's take a look at the Rambam one more minute, and then we'll go ahead. On the sheet that you have, there are two selections over there. The one towards your left comes from Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. Such a difficult subject in the Rambam. Entirely mathematical, entirely astronomical. It is the science of sciences to be able to establish the Kiddush HaChodesh properly. And on the bottom of Perek Yud Zayin here, it's the end of Perek Yud Zayin, you see Halacha Chof Dalet. In Halacha Chof Dalet, this comes after the Rambam has for almost 17 prokim gone ahead and given you all of the cheshbonos, the mathematical calculations of how to look at Kiddush HaChodesh. Now, Halacha Chof Dalet, he writes, V'tam, reflecting on the reason of kol ela cheshbonot, of all of these equations, mathematical equations, u'mipnei ma mosifim minyan zeh, u'mipnei ma gorim, what factors do we add to the equation, and what factors do we subtract? V'heich nodak kol davar v'davar me'elo hadvarim, and how we derive all of these things, v'hara'ayal kol davar v'davar, and the obvious proof for every single one of these things. This is what we call hi chokhmat hatkufos v'agimatrios shechibru bo chachmei yavon sfarim harbei. This is what we call astronomy, tkufot, and gimatriot, geometry. It has nothing to do necessarily with gimatria. Okay? Careful. That's geometry. Meaning, obviously, astronomy. Shechibru bo chachmei yavon, that Greek scholars have written Svarim Habay, many works over. The Heim Hanim Tzayim Achshav Biyad Chachamim. And these are the standard works which are in the hands of Chachamim. Now, I don't know how you want to, what you prefer saying. Chachamim meaning Chachme Bnei Israel or Chachme Umal Sa'ola. It's nebulous and could be either or both. Okay? Well, hold on. Watch. Aval hasfarim shechibru chachme Yisrael. So that's what confuses me, because immediately, let me finish before you tell me no. I don't mind all the no's in the world. I'm groping here with you, but let me just finish it. Aval hasfarim shechibru chachme Yisrael, but the ones that Talmidei Chachomim composed shehayu bimei anaviim, that in the days of the Nevi'im they existed mibnei Yisachar, from the shevet of Yisachar. On this subject, lo higiyu elenu, we don't have them. Now, what did you want to say?
In the first sentence, yeah? Talking about the swarm by the goyim.
Yeah.
The swarm by the
goyim. Okay. I mean, I feel
you
comfortable
read the
with
words,
it.
You go back and read it. Chachmei Yavon.
Right. So what is he saying? Chachmei Yavon.
The swarm written by the Chachmei Yavon.
All right. Hey.
The Jews got the Goyish swarm.
All right, so this Hachachamim, Biyad Hachachamim, who? The Jews? Okay.
And in addition to that, we wrote our own swarm.
I'm comfortable with it, but you have to make sure. It may be that he is saying that all Chachamim have it. Anyone, it is a possibility that both Jew and non-Jew. But
Stam,
yeah. You feel that way?
Some. Now,
So I hear what you're saying. There's only one problem. I haven't been able to take a look at the concordance of the Rambam and the Chacham to be able to look through to see stylistically how he uses it. Now, there is such a thing as a concordance of the Rambam. But there's no question that... All right, okay. No? Yeah, okay. But do you see already where he's in for trouble?
Yeah, sure.
What's the trouble that he's in for? He's moda al emes, that these mathematical equations are what kind of truth? These are absolute truths that have been arrived at. Now, the fact that these absolute truths were in our hands originally in Shevet Yisachar, the Talmidei Chachomim in the days of the Nevi'im, but no longer are here, in no way shuts the door for us to be able to discover them. But I have to be moda al ha'emes that these forim do exist, and they are extant in the hands of whom? In the hands of Chachmei Yavon. Now, mind you, he is writing this in his Sefer HaHalacha. Mela, when you talk philosophy, you talk philosophy, you are talking to those who are perplexed, who are nevochim, and you want to schlep them back. You talk their language. They are dabbling with philosophy, with chachme yavon. So you talk to them to show that that's taka emes. It's really true, but I'm also emes. Taras Moshe is also emes. And they can sit side by side. It is not a conflict. But look where you're talking. Here you're talking. This is the one, your magnum opus, which you wrote in Ivrit. Because why? Because it was to be studied by those who knew Torah. And he writes this way. Can you see already where you can get yourself in trouble, even if it's not in Sefer Amada? You don't feel it, huh?
If I go over, I'm a goy. I go over, I said, I noticed that it gets dark at night.
Yeah?
And that the stars come out at night. This is something I've noticed over many, many years, and I seem to think that is an absolute fact.
Yeah?
And you go over, since you have a look of that you can only do certain things when the stars come out. I'm making up a thing. You say, well, Mike Fisher has a book, says that he's a goy, so the stars come out. I've been busy at night. I haven't looked. But I'll take his word for it, and we'll write this down. And it's an observable fact. It's not something that I made up that I got from my gods or my Goyish cup. It's just an observation. Anyone
okay.
could have done it.
So your daughter, among others, was taught that this Goyish book was written millennia before by Shlomo HaMelech, and they stole it from Shlomo HaMelech and submerged the identity of this mathematical theory or astronomical truth from the works of Shlomo HaMelech. Chochom mikol adam. Are you aware of such thinking? No.
I don't see what.
Are you aware that your daughter learned that?
I learned from everyone.
Oh, well, your daughter did learn it, because it's being taught throughout the length and the breadth of the world that the Chachmei Yavon stole from Shlomo HaMelech. Okay?
So what?
What do you mean, so what? So ultimately, Chachmei Yavon, where it coincides with Torah, is only because they themselves ingested Torah.
I wouldn't give Shlomo HaMelech any great astronomical expertise. I wouldn't give anyone who lived at that time.
Because you're an Apikoros.
Well, because I know a little more about astronomy than they do.
I doubt it.
Then you are for sure an Apikoros. Okay, you see.
I severely doubt it.
You see, and when Rob is saying it, you know, this is with
solar system.
Okay,
we don't go around. Whatever.
This is a conditioning within Torah that how can we know as much as these gedolim on everything? Now, am I going to fight it and say that our knowledge, amassed, is so much greater?
I can't go over to my computer and throw in which Scottish comes in 29 years. Or
okay, there you are. Or I'm not going to be able to fight it. Because to fight it will do nothing more than once again rekindle the classical controversy of the 13th century. Simple as that.
It seems around the next line, though, he's saying what Mike's saying. Dang it, I have the proof. You don't have to.
All right. Umeachar, let's continue. Umeachar shekol elu hadvarim. All of these things, meaning the mathematical substance that preceded us in these 17 prakim, all of these things are birayot birurotein. They are observable, quantifiable commodities that I can arrive at not by speculation, but the reaya birura, absolute truth. She'ein bahem dofi, there's no way in the world to consider this falsehood, deception. V'i'efshar la'adam l'ha'he achareihem. It is impossible to even doubt that these truths are so. Therefore, ein choshishim la'mechaber. Nonetheless, we don't have to worry who the author was. Bein shechibru osam nevi'im, whether the nevi'im were the authors, bein shechibru osam ha'omos, whether the goyim were the authors, there's no question about it. You see.
Building up with opposition.
Okay. Shekol davar shenitgale me'imo. Nitgale ta'amo. For anything whose reason is obvious, V'noda'a amitasol b'ra'ayos she'en b'hem dolfi. And it is provable beyond the shadow of a doubt. Anu solchim al ze ha'isha amro. We rely on the person who said it. O she'limdo. Or taught it. Al ha'ra'aya she'nitkalta. V'ha'ta'am she'noda. And I don't care who the person is. Gentlemen, do you...
Wasn't there another place he said this? You showed me once, or was this...
This was probably, if I showed it to you, this is the most recent one that I saw. He says it in other ways, but not as directly yet. Mm-hmm. Tell me, without any flack over here, do you understand now the severest criticism?
I hate to tell you something.
What?
My machine hasn't been on
since the moment. It's not working.
Did you plug it in?
It is plugged in, and it is not working. Okay. Right. Okay. I'm sorry.
Didn't go at all.
I hate to tell you something. Do you see? Do you see a parallel in a certain Chumash that was written by a certain chief rabbi of England about 50 years ago called the Hertz Chumash? What is the severest criticism? What is the severest criticism of the Hertz Chumash?
Not only archaeological, but theologians and historians. This guy Smith.
Whoever it is, you see? The severest one. But, okay?
People
shun it as a result of that. But what I am asking you is, where did Hertz get the so-called chutzpah, in quotes, or the energy? The man was a firm man. No two ways about it. Talmud Chacham also. Where did he get the energy to be able to do such a thing? Here's the Rambam.
Isn't there a difference between that and that?
There always has to be a difference. Otherwise, you're not a yeshiva bacha. There are always two dinim. There always has to be. Okay? However, you will soon see in Rav Kook that the mathematics that the Rambam puts in Kiddush HaChodesh is more kadosh than our Chassidish Vertalach Amparsh HaShavua. This is Hein Gufei Torah. Kiddush HaChodesh is mathematics. Kiddush, I'm Gival Gishrin, Kiddush HaChodesh is the Chochmah of HaChodesh HaZelachem Rosh Chodoshim. It's as Kodesh as anything else in Torah.
I don't think the connection to Hertz, because it's clear. Because they're writing on mathematics for no other purpose but to study mathematics. And then the Rambam and the Chacham, I think, implying it to Kiddush HaChodesh.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, so the basis of their work is from the going.
Yeah.
But it's different than taking a gorgeous scholarship who's intended to interpret the Torah.
And I take an archaeologist by the name of William Albright, and I send him to do chafirot, to do archaeological discoveries, and he comes as a goy, as an Anglican minister, or Presbyterian, I forget now, and he publishes at Johns Hopkins University and says that this archaeological find, whatever it is in Palestine, archaeology was limited entirely, or almost entirely, to Palestine, in his estimation does nothing else but substantiate the veracity, the truth, of the Old Testament. Now, a goy is talking. He is without question a goy. And the fact that I heard him yet lecture for 2.5 hours with a yarmulke be'ivrit, and the whole YU sat there, we were 1,700 people, and Rabbi Soloveitchik sat there, and Belkin Olav HaShalom sat there, Lahavdil Ben Chaim L'Chaim, and he stood with a yarmulke, and his opening words were, in Hebrew, I now know what it means to feel what a Shabbos goy feels like. Simple as that. I feel the, he says, I feel the Kiddusha of Shabbos here that you've come to learn, but the goy is here to talk. That was it. Now, yeah, I was there. I was a kid. And here this scholarly individual went ahead and gave in Hebrew a 2.5-hour dissertation on his archaeology. Now, whether this is quoted in Hertz or not, the fact of the matter is that he's a goy. Who needs it? I'm playing devil's advocate over here. I'm telling you clearly that there is absolutely no difference in mathematics one for the other, because I'll tell you why. The Rambam could have gone ahead the same way and written a sefer in mathematics like who did? Like the Vilna Gaon did. Mm-hmm. He wrote in medicine, the Rambam, right in mathematics, so that Doros after will go ahead and quote the Rambam. The Rambam writes that A square plus B square equals C square and is applicable in these halachas. But he didn't. And he wrote this way. But can you see that this position could create incredible controversy? Sure, there is a substantive difference in what you're saying, but there are brilliant parallels. Otherwise, we'd have a very difficult time understanding how a man who was a Shomer Torah Mitzvah and a Talmud Chacham did such a thing.
His point, though, I think it's a valid point.
I don't deny.
With the fact that when the Rambam writes it, he's saying you have to have substantial proofs.
Yeah.
Well, and when you're getting into philosophy, it's harder to have proofs as opposed to archaeology. You do. Although it's still...
Philosophical proofs are just as valid within philosophy as mathematical proofs are valid within mathematics.
I mean, you're dealing with a different truth system. I mean, he dealt in absolute proofs. We aren't a modern, you know, modern philosophical proofs doesn't deal with absolute proofs. I mean,
absolute philosophical proofs, you know,
okay. Let's take one more point in the Rambam, then we'll get into Rav Kook. I alluded to it a few moments ago when I told you that it is entirely conceivable that when the Rambam wrote here in Yad HaChazaka, this was his Sefer Halacha, he was writing for Jews, he was writing as a Jew, he was writing the Emes of Torah. However, when the Rambam was writing in his Mora Nevuchim, in his Guide to the Perplexed, he was writing for people who were playing with fire. So you talk differently. You definitely have to talk differently to be able to get them back. Therefore, it follows that in Mora Nevuchim he could say one thing, and on the same subject say something else in a different way, which seemingly is entirely contradictory. And the contradiction can be understood within the context of whom he is addressing. From this you conclude, therefore, that if there is a machlokes between the Rambam and Mora Nevuchim and his attitude, let's say, here in the Yad HaChazaka in his Sefer HaHalacha, then obviously you discount the Mora Nevuchim. It's not philosophy that's valid for us today. It's not a hashkofa that is valid hashkofa for Torah observant people. And then you go ahead and you worry about his magnum opus, and that is his Yad HaChazaka. That's where his strength rests. A classical example exists in the Rambam on Korbanos. Rambam on Korbanos in Mora Nevuchim writes that the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Korbanos is to be able to wean us away from the indelible mark that Avodah Zarah made on us when we were in Canaan before we left for Mitzrayim, and the 210 years that we were in Mitzrayim. And the only way that we could get it out of our system was a weaning away system. You will not do Korbanos at home, you will not do Korbanos in the backyard, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up a focus of one place, Ki Imhel Amokom Asher, in that one place in which I will determine, that's where you're going to have Shoma Kavi Olosecha, that's where you're going to bring your Kabonos. So by taking it and reducing it to its minimum and ritualizing it, so to speak, with new Kabonos, we'll be able to wean you away, as it says, V'lo Yizbechu El HaSeirim, so that you don't go ahead and to every spirit give a Korban. Now, the Ramban takes the Rambam to tasks in here. How can you say such a thing? Korban has to have not a passive weaning away effect, but an active reason. Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have given us a whole Sefer Vayikra just to wean us away. You want to wean us away from something, you go cold turkey. Kamo Shekosim, the way it's written, Kemaase Eretz Mitzrayim, what you learned in Mitzrayim, Uchemaase Eretz Canaan, and what you will learn in Canaan when you come there, Lo Sasu, you're not to do them. Finish. Come and to wean away like this and make a whole Torah out of it. You can only speak to someone who is a Poseach Hashtei Asifim, one who is ACDC, one who is on again, one who is off again, one who is today is reading Aristotle and Plato and tomorrow is trying to grope and try to find a way in Torah. And there are moments of confusion, and this gates are among us, and this shadow of not knowing what true ways are. So he writes there that way. How does he write about Korbanos when he in Hilchos Korbanos, so to speak? And that's the other part that I've given you on the right. Let's see if you can pick it up. The bottom of Halacha. Let's start right at Halacha Ches. Ra'ui la'adam, it is proper for a person lihitbonein b'mishpatei haTorah kedosha, to go ahead and understand bina lihitbonein, to understand clearly in depth the laws of Torah kedosha v'leidas sof inyanam kefikacho, and to arrive at the ultimate truths, each according to his intellectual capabilities. V'davar shelo yimtza lo tam, and anything that he doesn't understand a reason, v'lo yeda lo ela, and cannot see a connection between all of its parts, al yikal beino, don't scoff at. V'lo yaharos, and don't destroy the system, la'alos el Hashem pen yifrotz bo, to turn against God, because this is a pirzo, this is a breakdown of religion. V'lo tehei machshavto bo, don't think about it, ki machshavto bishar divrei chol, since you can't figure it out, then obviously it has no meaning, so it's like divrei chol, it's a secular thing, you know, take it or leave it, no big deal, it's a lot of nonsense. Bo ura'ei, come and see, kama hechmira Torah bime'ila, in this concept of doing damage, of doing spiritual and physical damage to the concept of korbanos. Korbanos, and not only korbanos, but anything that is kodesh within the Beis HaMikdash. And he fixes it up, he sets it up. When we take wood and stone and dirt and dust, kevan shenikra, shame Adon ha'olam aleihem, once we designate this as Kodesh with the name of God, bidvarim bilvad niskachu, just by words, intent, they become Kodesh. V'chol hanoheg bahem min hakchol, and anyone who views them without Kodesh, ma'alba, has done violence to its spiritual nature. V'afilo hayashogeit tzarech kapara, and even if it is accidental, there has to be some kind of atonement. Is kal v'chomer le'mitzvah. All the more a mitzvah shechakak lonu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gave it to us, shelo yiv'at ha'adam bahem, that you can't kick it, that you cannot scoff at it, just because, why? Mipnei shelo yada tamam, because you don't understand it. Now, follow this through with Karbanos. Skip about three or four lines. In the middle of the line, the beginning of the line, the hachukim heim ha'mitzvah she'ein tamam yadua. You have it? Chukim,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we speak about a chok, these are mitzvot she'ein ta'amam yadua, that the ta'am is not known or obvious to us. Is there a reason? Surely there is a reason, but it may not be so obvious. Amru chachamim. So chachamim told us, chukim chakakti lecha, I went ahead and gave you these laws, these statutes, she'ein lecha reshus laharher bahen, and just because you don't understand them doesn't mean that you're going to scoff at them. The yitzro shel adam nokfo bahem, and man's desire to know everything, like a child who has to get inside a toy and know everything, otherwise it's not worth anything to him, is yitzro shel adam nokfo. Man's yetzer, man's desire, taunts him. The umos haolam meshivim aleihem, and goyim scoff at us, kigon, such as isur b'sar chazir. Can you tell me why I can't have a delicious ham sandwich? Ubasar b'cholav. Why can't I go to McDonald's and have a cheeseburger? The egla arufa. When I find a murdered person outside the limits between two cities, then I have to go ahead. The kapara is to go ahead and take egla and take a calf and arufa and to crack its neck. Givald, what is this all about? Upara aduma, the classical case. That if I take a red para and I burn it, so those who burnt it are tameh, and those who get sprinkled with the eifer para aduma become tall. What's going on here? You'll notice here that this all has to do, interestingly enough, with things that are plugged in one way or another to kashrus and korbanos. Usi'ir ha-mishtaleach. The highest form of kapara on Yom Kippur. If we take this goat and we send it la'azazel to, so to speak, to hell, outside the midbar. And through that process, all of B'nai Yisrael's sins will be wiped off. Klal Yisrael's sins will be wiped off. How much David HaMelech suffered from minim umin ha'akum, from goyim, and also from sectarians over there, shayu meshivim alachukim, who didn't let him live because of these not so obvious mitzvos. The cholzman shayu rodfim also b'tshuvos hashekia, every time they come with all kinds of false things, she'ochim lefikotza da'as ha'adam, that were the product of their distorted minds, is hayu mosif b'dveikus patara. He would go further and further and further into his love and clinging to the Torah. Shenemar, as David HaMelech said, Toflu olai sheker zedim, the falsehoods of these scoundrels have inundated me. Ani bechol lev atzur pikudecha. And the more I get snowed under with their sheker, the more and more and more do I envision the truth in my heart, that this is the emes of your law. All of your mitzvahs, I solidly ascribe to with faith. Sheker edafuni azaroni. Okay, and notwithstanding all these who have chased me, this is all sheker. Now watch this. V'chol ha-kobanos, and the whole system of kobanos, kolel, kulan, michlal ha-chukim. The whole system of korbanos, we don't know the time. There he tells us a whole time, and he gives us a whole Torah as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it. And here he says we don't know the time. Well, so you can say, obviously, he's talking to two different audiences. He's simply talking to two different mentalities. Chanoch lanar, and you take any person who doesn't know, and therefore he's a nar, al pi dalko, and you've got to teach him in whichever way the message gets through. But one thing you got to do, in the way you talk, that's the you've got to bring to emuna. You I will talk to one way, and you I will talk to another way. Obvious? And here's where we come to Rav Kook. Rav Kook refused to accept such a thing.
Which one?
This refused to accept that the Rambam in Mora Nevuchim is a lesser Torah than the Rambam in Yad HaChazokah.
When did he write Mora Nevuchim?
Doesn't matter, says Rav Kook.
Doesn't matter.
The integrated Torah personality of the Rambam was consistent from the day that he wrote till the day that he stopped writing. Yes, he admits, there's no question that a human being in groping for a consistent philosophy may change his mind from age 23 when he wrote Perish Mishnayos,
right,
till later on, 50, 60, 70, when he wrote Yad HaChazokah. That's not an inconsistency. You're entitled to go ahead, V'lachazor bo. That's no problem. But to say that the Rambam in Mora Nevuchim is not the Rambam in Yad HaChazokah, you're talking to two different audiences, and by the way, this was Yavitz's approach, that the Rambam in Mora Nevuchim is the Rambam at his worst because he simply imitated the paradigms of Greek philosophy, talking to an audience who needed that, and this is not valid for today, that the legacy of the Rambam is not his Moreh Nevuchim. The legacy of the Rambam is his halacha. Came Rav Kook and refused to accept this. Let's turn to Rav Kook. This is the thrust, by the way, this is the thrust of the entire